because there are not, that I have heard, on-air discussions of the need for a strategic, practical politics and in-depth systemic analysis-driven vision of the next global social arrangement in which human energy is no longer coerced and managed, in which class, rank, hierarchy, authority, and therefore the state have been responsibly breaked, de-energized, and removed from our lives. And certainly then, there has been no discussion of a plan for how to get there, of how to get this process rolling. Because there's not been those discussions, and certainly then, because there's been no plan for how to get to our future beyond coercion, the media commentary that appears here, and therefore in our radio conversations, lights upon the same discouraging absences week after week, requiring the reminder, oft needed, as we are not wired for duplicity, as our bodies long to take things as they're given, requiring us to remind ourselves that the reality power gives us to view is a construction, and that the voices that err, therefore, will largely, necessarily correspond with it, with that construction. I offer that preface to this so that we who do see freedom in the offing won't think a dark cloud has passed before our vision. The counsel I heard this morning, the venue was a progressive radio talk show from some selected spokespeople for the Black Lives Matter movement, not only clouds the issue of the coercive state and how we get beyond it, but attempts to drag this movement down a path not just destined, but designed to sink it, shrink it. While there was much use of language that sounded politically astute, assuring we listeners that everything they did was strategic, it held the end goal in mind, as well as the concern to sustain the movement over time, the absence of analysis exposed the pose as fatuous at best. Although, if the voices I heard are at all representative, a significant percentage of its leadership is inauthentic, recycling the same tired, healing rhetoric I heard during the Occupy movement from folks planted to sink it. The radio show interview included discussion of a tactic called Black Brunch, described in an article in a local weekly that featured these same people. Described in that article like this, quote, Black Brunch is about taking the pain and suffering of so many wrongful deaths and airing them out in the light of day, in plain view of those who can easily avert their gaze, unquote, from an article in the East Bay Express of December 17 to 23, 2014, called Media Ignores Black Protests. The tactic, Black Brunch, is to compel people eating in a restaurant to face the fact that Black folk, particularly low-income Black folk, are being targeted by the state, are being murdered at a high rate by agents of state. They, these folks on the radio, of course, don't use that language. But I propose it's an accurate language, a truthful language. It's a language that states the problem correctly. Not long ago, in a state of preoccupation, I wandered without thinking into a store, and I think it was called Your Basic Bird or Basic Bird, something like that, in Berkeley, that sells birds. I was completely unprepared for the display within of such raw, naked suffering. One cockatoo in particular continues to haunt me. But I couldn't see a way, not just to relieve his suffering, but the common suffering of all his kind. Because to free life, we have to free ourselves. We see suffering. We scan our available means to relieve it. We see nothing. If we're a philosopher or a Buddhist, we invent some theory to rationalize it. But such callousness ain't our biological inheritance. Otherwise, we see nothing. We are practical creatures. We move on. And this is no less true in looking at ourselves. at age 2. You feel me? So when the suffering is perceived, we must have means, linkages between us that we enlarge in times of need. The goal of reclaimed discourse must be reclaimed world. And this means ongoing local gatherings to reclaim our own thought process, because what we hear over the airwaves is not our thought process. It's what we're told to think. It's what we're given to think. It's the conditioning. Lack of information means we have no means to address our own suffering. And if we cannot address our own suffering, we can't address the suffering of others. Action beyond protest, that is to say, action towards a free future, requires a clear vision. Clear vision outs the agents as they stand in sharp relief against it. The word protest, evoking grievance, anger, combatants, this is a scene into which agents are easily inserted. Power welcomes this scene. Why is there such deep confusion about the state, if not that Alice Miller could not be more right? That to learn at mother's knee a tyrannical notion of authority plants deep seeds that only authentic probing with our own language and way of seeing can unseat. While I am not by any means trivializing the pain of losing our loved ones for no reason but because the state can, there is a particular horror in that. In the arbitrariness and arrogance of that naked display of power, the state saying, we can take your lives away and you can do nothing about it. The imposed sense of helplessness, a sense of helplessness they force us to feel, runs against our nature. And against this in-your-face statement of absolute dominion over us, every fiber of our being revolts. But where does that revolt take us, lead us? And once we discuss it, will we not see that underneath our fury at the state, there is a hidden rage at our mutual betrayal? Force imposed on our free spirits at an early age. A hidden rage. And that exposing that rage, that pain to our collective consciousness will indeed allow us to move not just beyond rage, but beyond the state.